The following meditations on the Sacrament of Reconciliation for Priests come to you from the Institute for Priestly Formation located at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. We hope that these reflections will assist priests in their ongoing formation to come to a deeper grasp of the grace within the sacrament for both themselves and the penitents who come to encounter Jesus in its healing power.
I'm Deacon Jim Keating, Director of Theological Formation for the Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha, Nebraska at Creighton University.
My name is Father Jim Rafferty. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and I'm a member of the Community of Priests of the Institute of Priestly Formation, where I serve now as the Director of Programs and Mission in Omaha, Nebraska. So as we think about practical questions that come up in regard to confession, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and in particular the priest's place in the sacrament, sometimes priests can carry the anxiety of trying to get it right in the sacrament, of having some kind of just unsettledness in their heart about having all of the answers or solving all of the problems, or kind of anxiety about the fact of people's sins. But the beauty is that in the sacrament, God himself is forming the priest's heart while he is a confessor. At the moment of sacramental grace, not only for the penitent, but also for the confessor, is to be intimately close to the heart of Jesus. And there the priest is learning from Jesus how to be a confessor, as he sees the love of Jesus affecting the penitent. And so for myself as a young priest, I had a lot of ignorance going into the confessional. The church and God, by virtue of ordination, had given me this role and this responsibility, but I had to continue to grow in that and to receive in it, just as my preaching has had to grow and develop through the practice of preaching during Mass. So there's always an ongoing formation that helps the priest to grow in comfort and also in reliance upon God as he steps into that moment of serving another person as a confessor.
When I promote the asking of a question in confessional, this sometimes raises anxiety in priest hearts as well, because then perhaps other questions arise in their mind, like, well, how many questions, or where is this going? Is this like a therapeutic counseling session? And if I ask questions, then perhaps I will stir emotions in the penitent, and I'm not quite sure what I would do with those emotions when they were exhibited. And certainly by asking questions regarding the personal origin of sin, the question about, can you locate or can you notice what the pain is that ignites your sin? This, of course, may bring with it certain emotions, perhaps sadness or anger or confusion of some sort. And the point is not to bring out these emotions so that they can be placed upon the priest, or that the priest will have some kind of therapeutic answer for what to do with these emotions. I would just invite the priest, when the emotions are articulated or when he senses that there is heavy emotion in a person's heart, to gently redirect the penitent to place those emotions into the heart of Christ within his own spirit. So it's not a matter of, I sense this penitent is becoming angry and I have to kind of calm her down or calm him down, or the opposite, I have to have this penitent express their emotions so that the truth comes out. It's more a prayerful recognition on both the priest part and the penitent part that there is more to this sin than just the behavior, and that the affective movements in and around this behavior have to be placed, as Pope Benedict said, into the open side of Christ, into that symbol of the origin of all divine mercy, which is Jesus' sacred heart. And so you want to place all these affective movements, emotions, into the heart of Jesus. And so the priest would very gently guide the penitent not to an expressive or explosive display of emotion in the confessional, but rather a gentle turning of these emotions to the Sacred Heart of Jesus within their own prayer life right there in the confessional. The other practical question would be, sometimes when we encourage more than the listening of the actual sins, priests get nervous about time. How much time should I spend with each person? And there's a prerequisite to this type of celebration of the sacrament, and the prerequisite is the catechesis of the entire parish about what the sacrament of reconciliation is, how one ought to celebrate it, and most particularly this more delicate question of becoming aware and noticing more regularly and with greater ease the origin of my sins. So a particular woman is envious, and over time she struggles with envy a great deal. She wants the home of the person down the street rather than the home she lives in. And she realizes over time, as she brings this envy to prayer, that the envy is rooted in some particular wound or difficulty that she's had. And she asks the Holy Spirit to bring that up so she can name it in confession as the origin of this particular sin of envy. But that is the work that's done outside of the confessional. That's done with her own spiritual life, perhaps if she has a spiritual director, her own reading of the scriptures. But the priest is the one who creates the environment for such a catechesis. So he preaches about how to confess sins in this way from the pulpit. He teaches the people how to do better Lectio Divina with scripture so that there can be a real encounter with Christ and Christ can begin to indicate where these wounds or difficulties may be, which are the origins of particular sins. He may even go so far as to give homilies on this and then perhaps record something so he can have a podcast on the parish website and people can listen more extensively. Or he can do a traditional adult faith formation forum on how to confess sins in the confessional. And so actually, this understanding of the sacrament of reconciliation, where there is perhaps deeper healing, doesn't necessarily mean more time with each person, because the priest is training his own people to be aware of interiority. And so, ostensibly, over time, a penitent could come in and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've had envy over other people's possessions. And this is due to the fact that I have never had a sense of security in my heart. And I've always been insecure that I'm not good enough. And so I'd like to raise up this sense of insecurity as well as envy." And the more we have parishioners who are also experts in noticing their own interiority, then there's no sense here that confessions have to take a prolonged time or a disproportionate sense of time. And this would be the goal of any pastor who wants his parish to become a school of prayer.
I think it's helpful to name as well that sometimes people come to the sacrament of penance out of a sense of duty, but they have not yet tasted for themselves the personal love of Jesus Christ for them uniquely. And so the celebration of the sacrament becomes rote or mechanical or even kind of dry, like dropping your suit off at the dry cleaners or running your car through the car wash. Okay, I've done that. Now what's next on my schedule today? What we pray for the church is that every encounter of the sacrament of Christ in reconciliation would be a moment of intimacy, a moment of restoration, even a participation in the resurrection, a participation in new life. And of course, that's not always going to be the case for every person who comes to the sacrament, but there is a problem when people want to go to confession without having known for themselves the tenderness and the affection of Jesus for them. It's actually out of that awareness of the love of Jesus for me that my knowledge of my sins comes. It's only in the confrontation with that love, in the beholding of that love, that I really discover what is disordered in my own heart, what is out of place with love. And so the confessor has that very gentle opportunity to hold up the true face of Jesus, to hold up the true face of the Father for the penitent, so that the penitent, through the act of God's forgiveness, can fall more in love with God and not just move through a mechanistic sense of duty, repeating a formula. Of course, that takes time, and a pastor in a parish has lots of time with his parishioners over years in his catechesis, his preaching, his being with individuals in the sacrament, so that he helps them to acquire the true image of God that is born through Scripture, that is revealed in the face of Jesus, in his dying and rising. And that is what helps to convert people, not only from their sins, but from their distorted sense of the truth of God. And the sacrament of reconciliation becomes an opportunity for people to live more and more in the truth of who God is and who they are in relationship to God, which is always very freeing. The priest as confessor is really the priest utilizing quite a number of different skills. He is in that moment present as a spiritual director, present as a pastoral counselor, present as a moral theologian. In all of those areas in which he has been prepared in the church to serve others, he's using a number of different resources in his own humanity. And so he's listening attentively for the movements of the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of sin. He is with people in the ordinary circumstances of their lives and the human situation. And he is also forming people in the truth of our theology and our Catholic morality. He's forming consciences by the way he responds to people in the confessional and by the way he assists them in helping them to have clarity and understanding around their own sins, the reality of evil, of darkness, and the overwhelming mercy of God that is always love. But God does not love us as a parent who spoils their child. God loves us with a love that desires only our good, that desires the best life that we can possibly have on earth, and that opens us to life eternal with him forever. So there's a clarity in the mind and heart of God about what is best for us. And the sacrament invites us as penitents into that surrender to God, caring for us in the way that is best, that is most loving. But the priest as confessor, he's listening as a spiritual director, he's providing counsel as a pastoral counselor, and he is also transmitting, safeguarding the moral theology of the church, which is for the good of the penitent. It's not some imposition from outside, but is actually the protection of the church for the penitent, helping the penitent to be safe, to be guarded against darker evils. And so it's a complicated role, and the penitent moves in those various skills, those various roles within the sacrament of confession.
Thank you for listening. There are more resources for you on the IPF website. Just click on the Resources button and find IPF publications, videos, talks, and more features to assist you in your priestly life and ministry.